It's Thursday, 27th of February. Welcome to episode 198 of Digital Outbox. Some said he would never come back. Tonight, live on Digital Outbox, I'm joined by Chris. Good evening, Chris.
Hello.
And Henry. Good evening.
Hello there. Hello.
My goodness me. Blast from the past.
Blast from the past. Yes. Yes, I've got a Zimmer now, and I'm drawing my pension. It's been so long since I was last on the show.
And I can't believe that I set all that up just so I could play that one bit of music. I'm going to do...
Have we paid royalties? Because it went on for some time.
I'm doing no more for the rest of the night. So a couple of changes this week. Just because Chris wanted to change things up and he doesn't want me to do hurdy-gurdy anyone since anymore. I'm going to host tonight, which is an absolute disaster. and of course, Henry's here.
I am indeed.
It's great to have you on.
I'm so glad I could join you.
I'm just as a...
You chose the perfect week to come on because we've got about a billion news stories and now we've got three opinions.
Which is one less than you normally have.
Yeah. The only thing I'm disappointed with, we've no patent stories tonight.
Oh.
But first up, we have Go To Fail. So Apple this week... had to release a patch. So iOS 7.0.6 came out because a fairly nasty bug was found in their SSL encryption, which basically meant that people could eavesdrop on you. And more importantly, many people thought this is how they've been doing all the NSA hacking in the background's been taking place.
Well, they put the bug pretty much turned out to be it skipped out SSL encryption entirely, basically. So it kind of did a check to see whether it was in place, but actually because it looked like a copy-paste error in the actual code, it skipped straight to it did a print 10, go to 10 kind of situation, just skipped out a whole chunk of code, and therefore didn't actually SSL encrypt anything. Now, Apple went very quiet about all that.
Funny
in
that.
Their normal kind of way. Yeah, strange that. But since people have had a look through the source code and people have uncovered what the bug was... and it was pretty serious.
Yes. And I guess that the bit that was more suspicious is you can actually tie the dates up to when this bug first appeared, when the NSA slides actually said, yeah, we've got iOS now.
So it was, okay,
so
it was all tied in.
There's a month's gap between that bug appearing and NSA slides saying, ta-ting, we've got Apple.
Wow. Okay. And it isn't just, is this just iOS affected or is it, no, it says OS 10 is also affected by the same piece of code. So I guess it's some central bit.
OS 10 was affected. Yeah. So 4 days later, a patch came out for OS 10.
Right. Okay. So it was only there for 4 days. Okay. Well, I guess it has now been patched. And whether the NSA now are with reduced, data.
Well, the thing is, though, I mean, how quickly do people actually update their systems anyway? So, I mean, at least with iOS devices, people tend to be a bit more they update their systems a bit more quickly. But it's funny in one sense and a bit worrying in another.
Absolutely, and I think a lot of people were saying, well, it's only if you're on a public Wi-Fi network you need to worry, but. But lots of people are with iOS devices and with laptops.
Oh, I think it's more and more common people just attaching to a wireless network and off they go. So yeah.
Yeah, and if you think you're using a VPN or something, it's probably okay. It's like, well, maybe not.
No, and fairly embarrassing because Apple have always prided themselves of, you know, no viruses, no malware. We are very secure. Not really.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just such a basic error. No wonder they were being quite quite quiet about it, because it's it is the kind of thing that one of your interns would make. But the fact that it got through quality control is probably a bit more concerning, really.
Well, it actually compiled. So if you actually took the code and compiled it in Xcode or whatever, it did actually pass the compiler test. So nice.
I'm always very nervous about criticizing other coders' code because I know what my code's
well, exactly.
Like.
And exactly.
I don't even class myself as a coder. I hack. I hack bits enough together and they kind of work. More of an American story. Netflix is paying off Comcast for direct traffic access, says the Wall Street Journal. So we've talked about net neutrality, and we don't want any of the big providers paying for faster access, you know, over broadband. This came out last week because Netflix on Comcast, the performance was really poor, and lots of people were putting up charts saying it's getting throttled. And lo and behold, after this came out, they were no longer getting throttled and they were getting good performance. So slippery slope.
Yeah, so Comcast, obviously US massive provider. I think they broadband provider. I think they serve something like a third of Americans. So it's an absolutely ginormous chunk of people. And obviously Netflix not being delivered correctly over the Comcast network was causing people a grievance. Now, I mean, this all did start coming out about net neutrality and was this Netflix paying for a superior service and all those kind of nice things. And I think out of all of it, Comcast have come out worst because it looks like they're just using their power of, you know, numbers to leverage all this. But also it's a pretty standard thing, you know, when they've got so much traffic traveling between two people, rather than going through intermediaries, they've decided they're going to talk to each other direct, but money is changing hands. So it's kind of, it's not quite the story that people thought it was as far as net neutrality goes, because there's no suggestion that they're paying for superior delivery over other, you know, providers, if you like, and they're not getting necessarily benefit over Amazon or whatever, whichever their other service, but there's definitely a bit of Comcast, you know, we didn't really get it clarified whether they really were throttling or not. They said they weren't.
No, but both. And so there's a thing called Open Connect in America, and both Comcast and Verizon have refused to sign up for it. So this was basically an attempt for all the different providers to say, yeah, we're going to sign up to this open way of working, because Verizon have certainly tried to talk to third parties and say, if you pay for exclusivity on our particular network, we'll guarantee you a certain amount of bandwidth, whereas we won't guarantee that for others that don't pay.
Well, it was worse to start with even than that. I think the first one was, you can only listen to this on certain providers, and you can only watch this on certain providers. You can't, you know, it wasn't sort of, the neutrality was based around who are you connecting through. I think we might just see Netflix have deals with other people as well, now that they're such a massive amount of data being shoved around.
Yes. And staying with the kind of, you know, that kind of area, Amazon are taking on Netflix with a rebrand of Love Film. So Love Film was a UK, started off postal, didn't it? It was a postal, you know, DVD game service. And then they moved into streaming video. Amazon bought them. So Amazon have now rebranded Love Film with the catchy title. I'm trying to find it, actually.
It's Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Amazon Instant Video.
Prime Instant Video. There we go.
Prime Instant Video.
Prime Instant Video. And so what they've done is, the Prime was £50 a year. I don't know if any of you guys are Prime members, Prime subscribers.
I have been, yeah.
I am as well. So it's now going up to £80 or £75. So I think it was a £30 hike. But you're now getting Love Film thrown in, so the video on demand service. So if you,
And you can do the other way around. So you can still be a Love Film if you want, and only Love Film. You don't have to go to Amazon Prime. But it's such a good deal that you know. It's a good way of getting people to sign up for both services, basically, which is what Amazon are trying to push. So putting them together and saying that's £80 a year, which is the same price as Netflix, is for a year. It's a good idea.
This has been available in the States for some time now, hasn't it?
Yeah. So in the States, I think they did it as a $50 and included the video streaming as well. But we never had it here. It was always two separate brands.
Now, I've not been on Love Film very recently, but have they vastly increased their selection of films and TV and stuff?
So I don't know how good it is, you know. So I'm there because I'm a Prime subscriber now, and there does seem, I mean, there is a lot of content. They're saying there's 15,000 titles, and I guess what they're also going after is their own exclusive titles as well. So they've got they did these trailers earlier this year. So Alpha House, The After, Bosch was another one, and they've also what was the BBC Ripper Street, which was a BBC program, which the BBC said we're not getting the viewers, and they killed after two series. So Amazon are now saying we're going to make the third, and it's a kind of, they're paying for a bit of it. BBC are paying a smaller bit, so it'll show exclusively first on Amazon. And then a few months later in BBC. So they are trying to break into that side of it as well.
I think the issue is Netflix have now, they've certainly seen a massive upturn. I think since Breaking Bad and the fact that they got exclusive rights to that, and everyone had, you know, that was the way to go and watch Breaking Bad. I think they saw a massive influx, and their content is expanding massively. Now, Netflix has always been known for a sort of slightly older content, but bringing the whole series to the front. But more and more recently, they've got their own exclusive titles, and I have to say I'm fully in love with House of Cards at the moment, which is an absolutely incredible series. So Netflix seem to be churning out some high quality, you know, HBO standard drama at the moment. So I think this is Amazon, you know, knowing that they've got to do something to keep in this game.
Well certainly I had a free trial of Netflix not so years and years ago, and interestingly that I got one of those another offer for another free trial just recently to come back, so just to see how things have changed. So interesting, they're still going after new subscribers quite aggressively. Oh,
massively. I mean, they're such a massive business now. The amount of money that flows around, they don't necessarily get a lot of profit because of, you know, they're investing as well, and they have to pay all their providers and stuff. But it, you know, the amount of money that's flowing through them now, it's incredible.
Yeah, and I know quite a number of people that just signed up for Netflix just for the free trial, just so they could watch all six seasons of Breaking Bad in a month.
And those people get, like me, it's exactly what happened to me. So I signed up for that, and I nearly watch everything now through Netflix. Everything, you know, it's just much more.
One of
my
friends was exactly the same. He was watching Breaking Bad, and then he's now watching all of Fringe. And enjoying all of Fringe.
Yeah. I've now finished Fringe, by the way, and now I'm into House of Cards. This just shows how quickly I consume things through Netflix.
You don't use the Xbox. I just jumped on Amazon, and I mean, most popular at the moment, there's Hangover Part 2, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, there's Wall-E, but there is, you know, Walking Dead Season 2, there's 24, Prison Break, Vikings,
and some of these are duplicates, so there's some of them are on both
West
platforms.
Wing, of course, and certainly yeah. They say, and most of these are saying that is HD. The HD I thought was a bit crummy, to be honest, when I tried it. It was 720p, but actually quite grainy and quite soft. But that's just me being a snob.
Yeah. This is the new, you know, Netflix, Amazon, and the new box sets, basically. That's how you go and get access to your box sets nowadays. You don't need to go and buy the DVD. You can just go and subscribe and go and watch when you want to watch.
Yes. Our friends at GCHQ, yet again, another story's come out today. So Yahoo webcam images from millions of users have been intercepted by GCHQ. So between 2008 and 2010, that they had a surveillance program codenamed Optic Nerve, which collected...
It's so James Bond.
So Optic Nerve collected still images of Yahoo webcam chats in bulk. So every 5 minutes, it basically took a snapshot. And what
their servers couldn't cope with a constant stream, obviously.
So in 1 6-month period in 2008, they had 1.8 million Yahoo user accounts globally they took images from.
It's more of this NSA pairing as well, where our laws don't allow the storage and collection of this data from users. We were using the NSA to do that, and where the NSA couldn't store their user data, they were using GCHQ for that, and sort of that partnership. That's the special relationship, if you like. So basically getting around all the privacy laws. And this was capturing the data of people who they were interested in, but then they're also capturing plenty of data, you know, non-targeted, so just anyone's camera that they fancied grabbing the images off, basically.
It is difficult, isn't it, for them? I mean, basically what they're doing is they're trying to get as much stuff as they can so that they control it for something that might be interesting in the future. It's like, you know, maybe don't agree that that's right, but that's kind of the way that they do it. They're maybe not actually targeting a huge amount of this stuff. They're just going to try to swallow up as much as they can. And if it's possible for them to do it, they're going to do it.
Yep.
And that's what they've proved. But it doesn't mean it's right.
Exactly. And I think this is one of the most dodgy ones, you know. So I think there's been a lot of, obviously they've been talking a lot about how they can intercept emails and calls, etc. But this just seems wrong. And also Yahoo spent the last 5 years sending everything in clear text almost. You know, just hack us.
Yahoo reacted, you know, they weren't very happy with this, outcome of this thing. It's just the whole another level of privacy violation, basically.
But I think this to me was one of the kind of worst ones. I just thought this was quite, you know, the content they're potentially capturing.
Well, it's a camera in your room, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. You know, I just did not like this one. I thought this was one of the worst. It makes me think there's probably some more absolutely scary ones still to come. Now, I think everything else tonight is all either mobile phone related or stemming from Barcelona.
Barcelona.
If you don't care about mobiles or phones or handheld devices,
then
or
skip forward half an hour.
Just we'll speak to you next week.
So first up, this was crazy Google. They are launching Project Tango. And the point of Project Tango, or the point of this phone, was you walk into a room and you can scan it with 3D sensors.
This is connecting a phone, basically, isn't it?
This is just Google wanting to map everywhere.
Yeah, so this is a way of mapping the internals of your house and then your buildings. They're putting this out to developers, right? So they're doing it on a short, sort of hand-vetted group of developers. I think they're saying 200-odd. And just seeing where they take this technology.
Absolutely. And it looked, the quality looked all right, considering it was coming from a handheld device. I don't know if there's much more to say about it. I still think there's something. No. I don't know.
Until we hear the reasons for it. I mean, they are saying you can map the internals of buildings, and hey, if we can actually navigate you to someone's desk in an office building.
What I didn't like.
Yes. But can they tell me what I had for lunch? You know, has it got that kind of MRI kind of scanning capability? That's what I want to know.
The thing I didn't like, this to me was typical Google, when it was like, oh, it'll help, you know, blind users navigate around a building and all that kind of good stuff. And I still just think this is the next bit of data that we can get to. You know, it's like past that household threshold, we can now get all the data within a house. We can all get all the data within an office building.
but that's what they're in the game of, isn't it? And look what they've done with all that data so far. We've had, you know, Google Maps and all that, the joys that come with that. And joys and drawbacks, whatever. But you know, it's they capture data. That's what they do,
and they make money from it. So they need more data. They need more data.
Always more.
Windows, our favorite whipping boy for the last 2 years. So Windows 8.1's
Windows
8.1's coming out. and they felt they had to emphasize that they actually do love touch. Even though we're going to focus not on touch, we do love touch.
They're basically, you know, they're trying to step away from announcing a U-turn, if you like, away from their crappy interface that they came up with that didn't work with mouse and keyboard. They've put mouse and keyboard stuff back in, the stuff that people missed and meant it didn't work. And now they're trying to spin it that, you know, that's not a U-turn.
You've got to love them, really, for trying, really. And if Microsoft can't market this properly, then, you know, who has a hope of? I mean, they're the masters of spin, really.
But they just seem like, at the moment, they used to be maybe good at spinning things, but actually they're just a bit rubbish now. I'm a bit down on them anyway, but yeah, they're bugging me at the moment because they sold me a console.
we'll come on to that later. But the bit I liked was, none of the work we are doing has a negative effect on the touch experience at all. We love touch.
No, because fine, touch may have worked, but you know, it wasn't touch we were worried about. It was mouse and keyboard.
So this update will bring a start button. Well, hey, and more mouse and keyboard friendly features. And that's the guys at work that I've upgraded to. That's been their biggest bugbear. I don't have a touchscreen. I can't use this.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So actually, the operating system
I'm not going
didn't
to spend
work.
Between £500 and £1,500 buying a new bit of hardware to support your vision of the future.
And all they had to do with Windows 8 to make it actually acceptable for people was just have this release as their initial release. It works like it used to, and we've got this extra layer on top for touch.
It's great,
wow,
isn't
that's,
it?
That's rocket science,
fantastic,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't just Windows 8 they were talking around. So Windows Phone got some time as well. So they're talking about some new hardware and some new platforms coming this year. And also updates to how the camera is going to work and some extra bits and pieces, but nothing really groundbreaking.
It's more Windows Phone on newer hardware. That's kind of what you'd expect. But then again, there's going to be a trend of this when we're going down these new stories.
There is, but I thought this one was really weak sauce. This was like, we've got nothing much to say, but I'm just going to stand here and tell you Windows Phone 8.1 or 8.5, whatever it was called, is coming as well.
But then what more can you do with a phone? You know, you've got a screen, you've got a decent interface or not such a decent interface, or, you know, you've got a camera on the thing, or, you know, what more can you do with it? What more can they announce?
I don't think people moan about the Windows 8 interface. I don't think people have too much of a bad time with that. But they're doing things like having dual SIMs. And they're doing things for other markets outside of US, basically.
And more importantly, the company that are buying Nokia is an Android phone.
Fantastic.
So.
Yeah, so this, what is the Nokia?
Nokia X.
So
it's three low range phones. The X, the X Plus, and the XL, which are all, so basically they've done an Amazon, they've forked Android, so put their own skin on top.
As we joked at the time, they have completely forked.
and the thing is, they've forked it, put their own skin on top. The skin makes it look like Windows,
which isn't surprising.
But then you don't get access to the Google Play Store. And so they're asking developers to do their own little tweaks, and they'll have hundreds of thousands of their own apps in their own app store. Yeah,
so they say
that's going to work.
Again, this is not necessarily meant for America or Western Europe. It's the new and emerging markets. It's not meant for established markets. This basically the cheap markets, because they're cheap phones. The cheapest one is 89 euros.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Well, it might be pretty good. It might be pretty rubbish.
Well, exactly. I mean, the price doesn't, just because it's low, doesn't mean it's good. But anyway, again, they've got, you know, all the kind of new features. Usability has been compromised because they're trying to slap things on top again, basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the X, seemingly side by side with the 520, doesn't look that different. But it's got, you know, half the RAM or a quarter of the RAM. It's got a CPU that's a lot smaller. The display isn't as nice. And it all feels a bit cheap.
And it's running a version of Android that was released in October 2012.
That's unbelievable.
Remember those versions of Android? They were a bit stuttery and a bit. They didn't have butter. They didn't have the butter UI.
It's such a long time ago. I mean, that's coming up for two. I mean, that's 18 months. And it shows you how long, I guess, Nokia have been working on this, because there was rumors about this for months. And then when Microsoft bought them, they thought this would just get killed. And it's.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's almost like they're trying to chuck this out the door before they actually get completely swallowed by Microsoft. Maybe just because they thought, well, we've put all this time and effort into it. It's not ready. It doesn't really work very well. But let's shove it out and say it's going to emerging markets.
Oh, the best bit is a Microsoft spokesman was like, we don't like all of Nokia. There's some bits that we don't like.
That.
So would any of you be tempted? I doubt you would.
I love the way that they said that one of these phones is great for Skype. You know, here's a phone that's great for Skype.
I don't think I've met a phone that's great for Skype.
I don't think anything's great for Skype.
I think the Xbox One you'll find is a fantastic Skype platform.
We'll never clue because I can't. No,
Sony.
Move on.
So they, I guess they had a couple of big launches. So the Xperia Z2 tablet and phone, and also a smart band, because everybody's got to have some sort of wearable this year. That is our law. So the Z
wearables, the new 3D.
The Z2 tablet, so 10-inch display, nice and fast, good camera. And also what I thought was nice, you can use a PlayStation DualShock 3, can connect for mobile gaming, which I thought was quite slick.
Yeah, all these things, they rely on the game supporting it. That's all. Yeah. That's the, you know, that's the only.
Yeah, but when you see some of the kind of really bad hardware that's come out now for iOS, for some of these kind of game pads, etc., they all look like, oh, they're all $70 or £70 and rubbish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas this, you know, it's at least going to have gone through the development cycle.
The DualShock 3 is rubbish, but at least it's known quantity.
At least it's better. Yeah, than the other rubbish.
It's just too small. Anyway. So the 5.2-inch Z2 is the latest smartphone, and that actually looked really nice. It can capture 4K video, which you can't play back anywhere, and it can do a whole lot of things. But again, that looked a really nice phone, really quite slim, very, very slick screen. And, you know...
This has got Android underneath as well, hasn't it?
And is this one of their... Is this still waterproof?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think that was one of the, I think last year when it came out, that was their big play on it, that it was a waterproof, one of the only waterproof kind of smartphones that you can get.
I know. And, you know, so many phones you get dropped in the pint of beer that really, you know, it's great if your phone's going to still work after that.
The final thing they launched was a smart band. So this lets you do life logging, wearing smart, and life tools. So obviously...
Wow, that sounds incredibly, and it sounds like no one's ever done that before. What does that mean?
It seems like the marketing department was like, okay, you're going to track steps.
It's a pedometer. It's a heart rate monitor.
It's Fitbit.
and a sleep monitor. Yeah. Oh, someone has done it. Oh, they just didn't put those names.
Honestly, it's Fitbit with a marketing budget. That's all it is. I think Sony and Samsung are just going to play competitions as to who can market their crap smart thing the most.
I wonder. Fitbit haven't had that penetration yet, have they? to choose my words carefully. Like, I'm not sure. I can't go down this route wrong. I'm going to have to back away from penetrating.
That was a...
Like, if I asked my mum, I'm not sure she'd know what a Fitbit was.
But would you know what No, I better not.
Yeah, this is why I backed away rapidly. But at the moment, she won't know what the Sony equivalent is, and she certainly won't know what those words mean. Yet maybe she'll see the Sony in shops, say at Christmas or whatever, more than,
she
would a Fitbit.
But on saying that, so I've had a Fitbit for a couple of years, and I guess I was a bit of a sort of you because we imported ours like fools. And Chris, the best bit, Chris just held up his, it's now permanently on his desk.
That's the most it's moved in a long time.
So, but interestingly, one of the guys I work with actually said, I was in Tesco, they're selling Fitbits. So I was really surprised.
So they have got the penetration.
So it's not just, anyway, you're obsessed with that. So, and again, like all the other ones, it's €99 or $99 or £99. So there seems to be this price point of these things that are all about £90.
You know, it does seem quite a lot for an Armstrong, one of those band kind of things, doesn't it?
Yes. I'm saying yes. If I lost my Fitbit tonight or tomorrow, I'd go and buy another one.
I think that's it, isn't it? I think Fitbit, you're not paying for the device or that. I mean, it's obviously it's an all right bit of hardware, but you're paying for the services that go around that and the ease of use and the fact that it just syncs itself. And, you know, you can buy a pedometer for probably a couple of quid if you want to. Oh, I've done 12 steps now because I've moved it.
Wow. I was quite pleased because I was kind of quite a lazy week, but on Tuesday I did 13,000 steps. And I was like, yay, wow. I've done.
Maybe I'll start Fitbitting again. I need to do something.
But you run quite a bit, Henry, and you've had no interest in getting a Fitbit, have you?
No. I prefer either using the phone or a GPS watch to keep track of where I've gone rather than just the number of steps. So.
You use Runkeeper though, right?
Although I've kind of moved on to Strava now, but yeah.
But it's a similar exactly idea. I mean, that's idea. Doing the same kind of thing, isn't it? Yeah. It's tracking what you're doing.
But you are a more professional runner now.
Well, I'm not. No. I'm just. I'm a bit obsessed. That's how I would put it.
So let's go on to Samsung. I said it without saying Samsung. Samsung's Galaxy S5. So I think that's a classic marketing faux pas. Then we've got a 5S and we've got an S5. So that's going to cause confusion. So the S5 is probably what the biggest phone release of the year. If you look at it from a sales point of view.
I think it is nowadays. Yeah, I think nowadays it's getting there. I mean, it doesn't necessarily attract the same attention as an iPhone launch, but it is a massive thing. People are always looking for the next Galaxy.
They are, definitely.
And this just looks exactly the same. It's probably going to be slightly faster. The screen's certainly the same because everybody was expecting it to be a crazy, you know, I think it was 2,500 by 1,600 pixels was the rumor. But there's still seemingly another Galaxy 5S kind of super duper one coming out in May. But this is pretty much the same. And I think the kind of couple of key things I noticed that were different where it's got a fingerprint sensor that doesn't really work very well.
Oh, that's a unique idea.
But it's a kind of, unlike the touch one that Apple's got, this is a kind of swipe thing. And a lot of people couldn't get the swipe to work and unlock properly and repeatedly. But I'm sure that's just a software thing, and I'm sure they'll fix it, and I'm sure in their demos they're going to do it will look fantastic. One difference they have with Apple, they have opened this up to developers, because the Touch ID is certainly locked to Apple only. The other kind of two differences, it's got a heart rate monitor, which just felt like we've added a monitor for the sake of it. So in the back,
again, they kind of did that with software. Now they don't have hardware.
Yeah, but you see, I imagine that there are, you know, a lot of people like me that use their phone for monitoring, you know, health and stuff. And actually, that kind of thing might it would certainly be interesting for people. It's just another thing that people.
But you've got to hold it to have that sensor work. That's the thing. It's, you know, it's not just going to be in your pocket or whatever.
Yeah.
It's waterproof though. You can submerge it in 1 meter of water for up to 30 minutes. It's just, that's pretty tight.
Take it swimming.
That can be dropped in the loo accidentally.
But the nice thing about that is that obviously you can maybe, you know, underwater, take some pictures, take some video. It's 4K video. So it's, you know, it's a ridiculously powerful little machine.
I mean, but like you say, it's... You know, it's the S to the S5 5S, I should say, isn't it? It's the 5 to the 5S. There we go. There's the confusion with Apple. It just doesn't look much different. It's got some bigger bits underneath, but really, in reality, there's, you know, it's just a
one of you guys said it earlier. There's only so much you can do with it, with phones. There's only so much you can take it, and it's just small steps.
Well, I'm sure there are plenty of ways you can take phones, but there's, you know, we haven't had that novel breakthrough again yet.
No.
And the one thing I did like, they've improved the kind of back of it. So if you've got a Nexus, they've kind of got that kind of dimply back. If you look at I think it's the gold or the beige edition, it looked like an elastic band. So there was lots of people putting up pictures of the back of that in the elastic band, so you spot the difference. And there wasn't much difference. So I liked that. Just so everybody knows, Shaq loved that.
I bet. You surprised me.
Samsung also dropped... 3 new smartwatches. So there was 2 new smartwatches that were similar to what they launched before.
To add to the... So they've got their billion phone differences and variants, and they're soon to have 500 million wearable variants.
So they've now got...
Yeah, but at least these are called different things. I never really get the hang of the... You know, the Samsung Galaxy S4 at the moment comes in so many different variants that it's like, is it still an S4 if
and don't mistake it with the S4 that was done 2 years ago.
Oh, exactly.
Is,
very confusing. Yeah,
I do think it's a mess, but never mind. That's Samsung. So the two new Gear watches now run Tizen, which is their own operating system rather than Android. And the kind of differences this time is the camera's moved onto the device itself rather than the strap, so you can replace the strap, and it measures your heart rate. So if you didn't want to use your phone, it will measure your heart rate, and it's got some other nice little bits and pieces in it.
So the Gear 2 is the big sort of watch replacement. That's got a microphone and a speaker in it, as well as a number of other bits. But they're smaller. What was their smaller?
So the Gear Fit. So this is the one...
Gear Fit. So this is like the most advanced wearable fit tracker that you can. And this looks nice. I mean, the pictures of this looked awesome. It's like a little lozenge, a curved lozenge that nice sleek screen, rather than just a sort of.
And I'll be honest with you. So I think if you looked at it in isolation, it might look nice. I think in somebody's wrist, it looked horrendous.
No, okay. I didn't think it was too bad actually. So compared to, you know, it's just the same as people wearing these, you know, plastic. I can't remember what they're called now, the Sony's version
the
of
Pebble.
It
and the sorry Brian
Fitbits. No, I'm talking about the sort of Fitbits of the world, the bands, the Fuel Band, whatever they call it, you know,
Nike Fuel Band thing. Isn't it?
Yeah, there you go. So I don't think it looks, I think it looks nice compared to that.
I think the Fuel Band looked better just because it's okay, looked a bit enough. Bulky still, and I think that's the thing.
Yeah, it looks very bulky.
Well, what's quite funny though, isn't it? Is if they can change the straps on these things now, then they're clearly going back to the 1980s and swatches.
I think it's important. I think a lot of people do want to customize, you know, what it looks like.
Yeah, swatch was very, very popular. Yes.
If you were in the 80s, so I don't know how much. I certainly got a lot of good feedback. I think a lot of people saw this is actually a really nice device. Probably the best one that's been out there so far. In that kind of wearables area. It did look really nice, but I looked at it and thought I wouldn't have that in my wrist.
Yeah, but then you've thought that about all of them so far, so, you know, the same thing. But yeah, but not to use.
That wasn't the original intent. I didn't buy it to, you know, profiteer. No,
but that's obviously high up your list. We didn't mention with the S5 that it's got a really quite powerful power saving mode, so it goes to almost a kind of e-ink display.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Power and can actually then go to. I think I could be talking off kilt here. I don't know, but I think then it can. It's got another 24 hours of standby mode once it's in that state. So it's quite a clever thing. If that's related to another product, though, I did.
No, it does. I don't think it is there, and that's quite important because battery life on smartphones is just still awful. The more we use
battery life,
well, it's when you get down to that bit where you know that you're going to need a bit of phone life left. It's good that it sort of tells you and then sort of rescues you from that situation.
Yes, and that was something else about these kind of smartwatches. I think they were saying for the Gear, it's like, well, you get 4 days battery life, and it's like, I don't want to be charging my watch every 4 days.
No.
And this is the thing, none of these things sound very appealing to me. I feel like I've turned into an old man. I am an old man, but the it just all feels like, oh, I don't want to do that.
No, yeah, the power thing though is a real we've just gone so far backwards, you know. I mean, you used to be able to get these brick phones that would last for weeks and weeks without needing charged, and you know, now all these smartphones, yeah, they do amazing things, but really, you've got to have them almost. It feels like you've got to have them on the charger constantly.
My work phone is just one of the old Nokias, and it's not particularly, doesn't do anything smart, but the battery lasts 2 weeks, yeah. And I can talk to everybody for ages on it, and it's.
But it's not effectively a glorified monitor and high-powered computer all in one thing, is it?
That's you're done.
Unfortunately,
you're absolutely right because even Snake on it is like. It's like from
it's stuttering. It's the frame rate issues on Snake.
Oh my goodness! So moving on to my favorite person, Elop the Destroyer is now heading up Microsoft's hardware division. Just as soon as he's back in the company.
I was gonna say, this is the guy that went off to. Didn't he go off to Nokia?
He was a Microsoft guy. Went to Nokia. Destroyed that company, sold it back to Microsoft.
Got it sold to Microsoft.
was then down as like one of the favorite for CEO. Didn't get it. And he did, and there was lots of rumors beforehand that said, actually, see, if I'm in charge, I'll sell Xbox. I'll sell all the hardware. I'll do all this and that.
Yes. He was the one spreading those rumors.
He's in charge. So.
So he might.
Xbox is doomed.
Maybe. And maybe that's not such a bad thing. Say, if it gets bought by someone who cares for it.
That's so a bit cynical. Harsh.
Yeah, it is a bit harsh. Anyway, so yes, he's in charge, and yeah, who knows that say all those rumblings, maybe they will come to the surface now. Maybe Surface
To be honest, see if they did sell Xbox, I think it would die.
I think you're right. I think it's needed a lot of input and an investment, and I don't think anyone else has got that kind of money.
And to be fair, I do think what they've got is flawed, but they're the only one that are trying to do a vision. They do have some sort of crazy vision around about TV and entertainment, and that.
I think in a year's time, I think it'd be like Windows 7. I think by the time that everyone's been pissed off and moved away from it and gotten bought, you know, PlayStation. I think they will they'll have a good console then, but it'll be a while, unfortunately, and that's the problem. Our friend Bomdogs has traded his Xbox in for a PS4 this week, because Game are doing 25% extra on trade-ins at the moment, so you can pretty much swap like for like. And I think a lot of people probably are.
Yes. So, moving on and sticking with Xbox, they've cut the price already.
Yeah, I think they needed to. So it's £399 now, UK, which is basically £30 less than it has been previously. And they're also shoving Titanfall in there. So they're kind of giving you, it's equivalent of, a £90 reduction, really.
Yeah, so by bundling Titanfall, it is a bit of a reduction. And it does feel a bit desperate all of a sudden.
Desperate or realistic, you know.
The only
one
thing
of the two.
That favour Titanfall, it does look to be a cracking game. I'm sure it will sell.
As ever on Twitter, you know, the initial reaction was £30. What's that? It's nothing. But it does make, you know, it breaks the £400 barrier basically.
And also,
and like say with Titanfall in there, it's what people want to buy anyway. So that's going to save them another £50.
And also, they've released details of the next update, and the update basically gets us back to the functionality that we all kind of knew and loved in the 360.
Oh, well, I haven't seen those details. So they confirmed that.
Yeah, so that, you know, when you pop up the friends list, it tells you who's online rather than giving you all the notification stuff.
Amazing.
When you join a party, it will turn on party chat by default.
Amazing.
You'll be easy. It's a far easier to take parties in game to game. So remember the old options, like you could say invite to party in game and all that kind of good stuff. That's all there.
Yeah.
And I guess a new bit of functionality is Twitch broadcasting's coming as well. So all that. I guess Twitch is a big platform now, and a lot of people are seeing it that they do want to watch people broadcasting.
I just wish that the dual button, instead of going back to home, would just do an overlay like it did before. Let's take it that one step further, because I think going back to the home just feels wrong. You know, having to load another application just to go and get your friends.
And that's our news. Now, picks. I have one quick pick. I don't know if you guys have any, so I'll do mine quickly. Yahoo News Digest. This is the news app from Yahoo that was based on Sumly, which was what they spent a ridiculous amount of money in, that little UK kids Sumly application. So this delivers 10 stories twice a day, delivers it in a very nice app. I actually quite like it, but the only thing that's put me off tonight is that it felt like the Daily Mail, because the first story was about the dramatic weather that's coming to the UK tomorrow because we're getting 8 inches of snow. And I'm sure... I'm sure this is like the Daily Mail and like the Express saying that the world's about to end and we're getting loads of snow. So I was a little bit disappointed that it's like, no, that's not really the most important story in the UK today.
So it's a tentative pick.
No, I'm going to stick with it, because you get a little, you know, when it gets delivers at 8 and 6, so 8 in the morning, I get a little ping, News Digest is here, and you can just have a quick flick through and if something takes your fancy, have a quick read. And it does actually a good job of giving you a nice, concise story. So if you want to find, so now how do you normally finish this, Chris? That's our podcast. If you want to find out more about us, our website is digitaloutbox.com.
You're supposed to be changing this up.
That was my Chris impersonation.
It was pretty good.
I'm now channeling Paul Daniels. I don't know why. If you want to find out more about me, my website is cnd.net. I'm on Twitter at Sweeper. Christopher.
Twitter, Cheesy UK.
Is that it? What about, like...
I haven't upgraded it. I haven't done anything with it for
since
last year.
I know, but
like,
I'm
months
away from being back in the track, man.
Yeah, well maybe things will start upgrading and updating it. Boop, 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 boop.
Thanks for listening. Tune in again soon. Goodbye now.
Bye-bye.
Tune in again soon. What a dick.